proceed with the next case. Which is Ruth Obazi versus the United States.
May it please the court.
Hey, Mr. Shelley.
My name is Ralph Shelley, representing the petitioner, Ruth Obazi. She chose to be here to observe what is happening today. She is a lady from Africa, from Nigeria, came to this country in 1993 and applied for asylum at that time. Her claim for asylum was heard before an immigration judge with a supplemental application from my office presenting her position. The position we presented at the hearing before the immigration judge was that she left Africa because of fear of her safety. When she was a young girl, about 18 years of age, she joined a satanic cult known as the Reform Old Boney movement. That cult had very primitive occult behavior. And as a member of that group, she was forbidden to leave the group. The practices of the group were almost beyond belief to a person from our civilization. They believed in earth spirits. They did not believe in any god.
And of course the brief pretty much outlines what those beliefs were, but isn't a problem here that the immigration judge didn't believe it because it was uncorroborated and the expert that was called didn't help substantiate her position. Isn't that a problem for you, the finding?
Yes.
Especially for us on review.
Thank you. The immigration judge said that the things she mentioned in her explanation of what went on in this cult was implausible. He didn't say it was not credible. And I can see that he felt that way, because to a person from our civilization, unfamiliar with the civilizations in Africa, would find these actions implausible.
Well, especially when there seems to be no other evidence of it.
Pardon?
They said especially when there seems to be no other evidence of it.
There was other evidence presented, and he actually mentioned it in his order.
What, and we... Pardon? With all that cannibalistic stuff? Is there evidence of that?
He did not go into that. However, the only thing which would approximate cannibalistic action was that the members of that cult, when they were initiated, would point to a part of a human body, and then part of their initiation was to eat a prepared item which they were told was that human, that body, which that part of the body which they had pointed at. Aside from that, I don't see anything about cannibalistic activities. But this was a ritual, I imagine, to put fear into them and make them think that they were in a dangerous occult activity.
The problem here seems to be that she lived in the country for, I don't know, 8-10 years or something after she left the cult.
She did, Your Honor.
And
she was still a member of the cult. She did not leave the cult until she converted. She became a born-again Christian. And she stated very well during her hearing that she believed in Christ and his teachings and was devoted to him.
But she left the cult she had been away from this cult for a long time.
She went to the university.
I don't recall it, 10 years or something like that.
That is true, but she was still a member. She left to go to university. She graduated from university. As a matter of fact, she is now a teacher in our school system. But she didn't wake up to the fact that it was a primitive, unacceptable occult activity until she converted to Christianity. That is when she broke with the church, with the group. And that is when her danger began, after she had left for many years. The immigration judge mentioned, as you have, that there appeared to be a long period. There wasn't. She was a member of the group all that time. She attempted to leave the group and refused to attend their meetings after she became a Christian. And that is where her conflict of a religious nature comes from.
Well, but how do you deal with the testimony of Professor Morton Williams? To the effect that this group practiced animal sacrifices but rejected cannibalism. I mean, you know, the immigration judge tried to look at the evidence, and as I understand the record, continued it many times to try to give you some time to substantiate this, if it had been letters from family members or from... How do you deal with that?
We did submit country reports.
Right,
and
but the country reports didn't substantiate her position.
Even the professor's report, which you mentioned, Your Honor, mentions that they engage in activities of a strange type, but he didn't even know the details of this particular reform of Bonnie group. It was a relatively newly formed group. But I would say that a careful reading of the corroborating material we presented, and which the judge read, clearly show that this was a strange occult religion.
Well, in your brief, you mentioned the fact that Ms. Obasi has given birth to two more daughters, you know, since the IJ opinion. You didn't file a motion to reopen based on changed circumstances. Why not?
Not because we have filed an I-130 petition based upon her marriage to a U.S. citizen, and we felt that the motion to reopen had to be accompanied by an approved petition.
So do you think we can consider the recent birth of her youngest daughters in this appeal?
I would suggest that you do, if you can. The usual thing would be to only consider those factors which were presented at the time of the hearing before the immigration judge, which was the birth of one child. She now has three children. All three of them would be three female children. All three of them would be subjected to this female genital mutilation, which we are asking for protection from.
Well, is she the one in control of whether this mutilation is performed on her children, or does the father have any input into that, and what's the father's status?
The father of these children is a United States citizen.
Right.
And I would say he would have very little effect if he were in this African community in Nigeria.
Well, you mentioned in your brief that he potentially could raise the girls here.
No, I don't believe I mentioned that, Your Honor.
The government said that, I think.
Pardon?
The government raised that.
Well, I would say that's a rather facetious argument, because these children, if the mother goes, her children have to go. She's not going to leave these children out of her custody and control.
But she can protect them, at least.
Pardon?
She can protect them wherever she goes. I mean, does someone come in the night and take the kids? Is this what there's some fear of?
The information we have presented shows that 90% of the females are subjected to this act.
By a government edict or something?
Pardon?
By whom? By what?
By actual, this is what happens.
Well, does she have to related question. Does she have to return to her tribe? I understand that her tribe engages in this practice. But if she's deported to Nigeria, does she have to return to her tribe? Can she live independent of her tribe and protect her daughters from this procedure?
I don't believe she could, Your Honor, because this procedure takes place through all of the country. It's not limited to the area from which she comes. Furthermore, if she goes back, she will live with her family, with her relatives. But even if she didn't, let's assume she is an educated woman, let's assume she were to go elsewhere, the members of this group, which are after her for leaving the group, and which have threatened her, as her testimony shows, taking her to a graveyard, pointing out that this can happen to you, writing her threatening letters. Commenting on that letter, the immigration judge felt that that letter lacked importance in that it was vague and unsigned. Well, a threat of that type would be vague and unsigned. That does not minimize...
Time's up. Finish up.
I'm so sorry.
Well, finish up. Wrap it up.
Well, I would just say that it is our desire, naturally, that this court either finds that a good case for asylum has been made or that it's remanded to the BIA, the Board of Immigration Appeals, which has consistently refused to, which has refused to go into the various arguments made in our briefs to them. They affirmed without opinion a two-paragraph affirmation stating nothing. They have not read or considered anything that was said to them. Thank
okay.
you.
Thanks. Ms. Blayla.
May it please the court, my name is Robin Bly and I represent the Attorney General in this matter. To address his last point that the BIA didn't look at this at all, this court has come out and said that there's no due process violation by the court, by the boards using the streamlining or the affirmance without opinion procedure. In addition, just because they've done this two-sentence opinion doesn't mean that they didn't look at it and decide that it wasn't appropriate for streamlining. You have the immigration judge's decision, which is before you, and you can review that. The reasons are in that decision, and so we would say that the board's streamlining of this case was not any violation or anything like that.
Can you speak to the father, because you were the one that mentioned in your brief that if he had custody of the girls, that the girls could be raised here and this whole issue could be avoided, at least as to the younger girls. Is there any basis for that other than you're just saying that as an obvious fact that exists, that he's a U.S. citizen and he could have the girls? Is there anything more? Has he indicated he would?
There's not a lot of information about him, and I actually just learned now that he was a U.S. citizen, but before the court he had said that, or before the board or in the record, it had said that he had legal status here. What Ms. Obazi is facing is not any different than any other alien who has U.S. citizen children who have to, the alien has been found removable or deportable. I mean, they all have to make a decision whether to keep their children with a guardian or an appropriate party in the United States while when they get deported or removed from this country. So her situation is not any different than any other alien in her position, you know, who's been found deportable. As for her FGM claim, she is claiming that that because of her daughters will have to undergo this procedure, that she should be, Ms. Obazi should be granted asylum. There is no judicial asylum decision that says anything to that effect. In fact, there's contrary law in this circuit that says that asylum eligibility may not be based solely on harm suffered by a family member in a country in the country of deportation. And those are the Siorba case, the Thomas Murcia, and the Baresa case. The statute does not recognize derivative asylum claims such as this claim. The daughters are U.S. citizens, And in order for the impact of a third party or a third person to be considered when an applicant requests asylum, it would have to be done legislatively.
Well, aren't we dealing with those three cases you cite, aren't those distinguishable from our case? Because these are all adults. These were all adults. Fiorva was 28, Ambadi was an adult, Thomas Murcia was an adult.
Yes, but it's also distinguishable in that these children are U.S. citizens and can remain in this country as well. They have that option, which the other parties, the Barista, Thomas Murcia, and Fiorba, didn't. They were citizens of other countries and could not remain here.
I thought the record, at least my understanding of it, was that the father was from Nigeria also.
My understanding is he is from Nigeria.
But he's an American citizen.
That's what I just found out, Your Honor. So he is now a citizen. And
a lot changes because mm-hmm. the hearing here was in 1997, so it was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
These things take ungodly long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the board's trying to take care of that, Your Honor.
In light of this court's decision in Noakola, and recognizing that that dealt with a motion to reopen and not the situation we have here, was the IJ in this case, or should the IJ have considered the effect that deportation would have on Mrs. Obazi's daughter?
No, Your Honor. There's no hardship element in asylum. The Nokola case is distinguishable because they were asking for a stay at that point, and also they had a motion to reopen,
right,
which was later to be
that.
Considered. Both of those had discretionary factors to be considered. In this instance, and hardship could be considered. In this instance, there's no hardship aspect to the asylum statute at all. So hardship to her children cannot be considered.
All right. Now I have one other question. How does the doctrine of constructive deportation, which was recognized by this court, I think in the Salamita case, how does that interact with the derivative persecution concept in this context, in the context of FGM?
Well, Your Honor, I would just point out that the Salamita case, again, had to deal with suspension of deportation, which had the hardship aspect, which has the hardship element to it, and as well, in that case, you found that non-citizen child should have the opportunity to apply for some sort of relief. In this instance, as I pointed out, the U.S. citizen children can remain with their parent or with one of their parents, their father, or they can appoint a guardian if that is what they choose to do. I mean, as I pointed out, this situation is no different than any other alien that is forced to leave this country and who has children while they're waiting for their cases to be decided or to be deported. With regard to her other aspect of her asylum claim, we would say that the court should sustain the immigration judge's decision because the evidence of record does not compel a contrary conclusion. The immigration judge reasonably considered that a considerable amount of time had passed between her active participation in the Agbani reform fraternity or society and her 10 years later, 11 years later, becoming a Christian. And it was reasonable that for the immigration to decide that it was implausible that a threat from this group would take that long, 10 years or 9 years, whatever the time frame is, to manifest itself. This was also inconsistent with her claim that the Agbani's primary interest was in preventing former members from disclosing information about their cult. I mean, she could have been disclosing information about that cult during the intervening years. Also, the evidence of record shows that she had no problems practicing her religion. She was able to be baptized. She could go to church. She was religiously active during her time there. And the record shows only that she was harassed by the Agbani because they were concerned about her keeping silent about this cult. and not on account of her membership in a particular social group or on her religion. I mean, even there's even the letter in the presumably from the Agbani that it says that that's who it's from with the letterhead, that it negates her claim that they were hostile to Christians. The letter stated, "You can still attend our meetings and participate in all our activities and still go to your church," and that's found at page 281 of the record. So we would say that the immigration no evidence in this record compels a contrary conclusion, and the immigration judge's decision should be affirmed. If there are no further questions.
Okay, and your time has expired. So this case will be taken under advisement. We'll move on to the